This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, you're listening to The Morning Run, 7:47 right now. I'm Melissa Idris with Tan Chung Han and Julian Ng. Now coming up on The Breakfast Grill, we have Datuk Wira Muhammad Latif Sarugi. He is the chairman of the Malaysian Franchise Association. He's coming on The Grill to discuss, I guess, the issues that have risen from the recent news public spat between La Caffa, who owns the brand Chartime, as well as Loop Holdings, which was the Malaysian master franchisee. And the question, I think, is whether franchise models are, in fact, the best way in growing a business, right?
That's right. I think some new developments have come up with regards to that relationship between La Caffa and Loop Holdings, which was not discovered when this interview was done. I think it also implicates a big part of what Loop Holdings is doing. Apparently, there were some clauses within that agreement concerning sourcing of ingredients, concerning sourcing of raw materials, like, for example, the plastic cups that Loop Holdings source from others. Suppliers, as well as a non-compete clause. So this space has to be watched. It will continue to be developed.
All right, that's on The Breakfast Grill coming up in about 15 minutes or so. But first, let's take a look at the earnings of Axiata Group. Profit fell 75% to 657 million for the financial year 2016. If you compare that a year earlier, they were making 2.6 billion. So this is a really sharp fall. Jules, what caused this fall in profit?
Mainly attributed to the degree of forex losses that they had, a huge amount of forex losses, because as you know, Axiata is a company that is like a fund manager investing in the telco companies of frontier markets all over the region, and they have taken quite a lot of foreign currency debts in order to fund those foreign operations. 70% is the degree of debt that Axiata has right now compared to their capital, and half of that is in US dollars. The other half is also in those respective emerging market local currencies. So you can imagine the kind of impact that the ringgit crash would have had on how expensive Axiata's debt has become.
And when you consider that at the start of that reporting quarter, the ringgit was at 4.11 against the US dollar, ending 2016 at 4.49 against the US dollar. You know, it just gives you a perspective there of, you know, how much the ringgit declined against the greenback. And obviously, it has translated not just into Axiata's earnings as well. As we have been covering this earnings season yesterday, we spoke about AirAsia. They are also blaming forex losses, right? And I'm anticipating, you know, more corporate moves, you know, in anticipation of, you know, where the ringgit is going to go for the rest of this year.
Yeah, and those moves are taking the form of hedging more for currencies. Axiata is embarking on some kind of a very aggressive hedging policy and also cutting the dividends, substantially cutting the dividends. I don't think the dividends are a real concern because it was quite low to start off with. Axiata is really a growth company, so it's attracting the kind of investors that are interested in growth rather than dividends. But the question is whether these FX concerns are temporary or longer-term structural concerns, because I don't think that corporations want to be FX traders, right? But they have strategic concerns. And if the ringgit continues to depreciate over the years, over the, let's say, the next 5-10 years, no matter how much you hedge, you're still going to be exposed to the weakening ringgit, and your debts are still going to become more expensive. And in that vein, we also see other corporations like IHH today has also announced that they want to de-risk their FX risk. They also have a lot of US dollar loans. AirAsia X yesterday also talked about heavy FX losses as well.
Yeah, and speaking about dividends and FX losses, so it's not just Axiata, AirAsia X, IHH, but also the EPF. You know, they're talking about how they have to be more careful with their foreign investments amid the weaker ringgit. So, I mean, they are trying to build up their portfolio overseas, you know, but they, with that uncertainty in the ringgit's movement moving forward, they got to be a lot more cautious. I mean, well, at least for our sakes.
Well,
right?
Speaking about Axiata's dividend cut specifically, I mean, if you look at 2015, they had a dividend payout ratio of 85%. And this year, for 2016, the financial year 2016, they've announced a dividend payout ratio of 50%. And this is the lowest it's ever been since 2010. So at the press conference yesterday, BFM asked Axiata about this. This is what the president and group CEO Tan Sri Jamaluddin Ibrahim had to say about the decision to cut the dividend payout.
We have not decided nor meant to announce anything for 2017. All we are saying is that we are looking at a more conservative dividend for 16 and 17. We just give heads up to our investors that 17 might be also quite conservative. At the same time, we are saying that by 2018, which is to be paid in 2019, it's our every intention to go back to the previous level of DPR, not necessarily DPS, not necessarily 20 cents per share, but at least back to the level of 85% as we were the year before.
Okay, so there you go. That was the CEO of Axiata Group, Tan Sri Jamaluddin Ibrahim, expecting a challenging years to come. But looking at the results, guys, the Axiata is not just impacted by lower contributions from Forex losses, but also lower contributions from India-based subsidiary Idea Cellular Limited, on which it owns 20%. So Tan Sri Jamaluddin Ibrahim has dismissed any impairments on Idea, despite its associates' profits after tax falling more than 100% year-to-date due to aggressive competition in India.
No plans at this point in time. While the share price has been hit quite badly, of course it has improved quite a lot recently, we do not base our impairment on share price. We base it based on our long-term DCF. So it does imply that our view of the world is not 1 year or two, which share price tend to imply, but it's based on a much longer period. With that kind of population and a kind of growth and significant increase in the spend on a mobile phone, we do and we still feel that it's a good country to invest in. And if you do a DCF for Idea, right now there's no compelling reason for us to do any impairment.
That was Tan Sri Jamaluddin Ibrahim speaking about Idea Cellular, in which they own a 20% stake. Now, Idea is, I think, they're currently trying to merge with UK's Vodafone.
Vodafone, right. Some overtures have been made to that effect, and I suppose that would benefit the minority stake that Axiata has in Idea. I mean, India has that U-Mobile equivalent, right, called Jio, which is owned by India's richest man, Mukesh Ambani, which has managed to collect about 100 million customers. So in just 170 days, right, less than a year, 100 million customers. You can imagine how much potential the Indian market would have. And for that reason, I think Axiata is a company that I kind of like, in spite of the troubles at home. They are a fund manager for the region and perhaps the rest of the world, because they have ins into all these major stakes of high growth cellular companies around the region. And I think that's something that's going for Axiata.
Well, moving on to, let's say, the banking industry for the 2016 financial year, Maybank's net profit stood at 6.7 billion ringgit, which is down 1.3% from 6.8 billion in the same period a year ago.
Yeah, I think we are quite encouraged to see that net profit is quite stable within Maybank, although that 43% jump in the fourth quarter for Maybank is really due to some gains that they made from selling securities. But from an industry viewpoint, Maybank is the largest bank in Malaysia, so the Malaysian loan growth would track that of Maybank. And you're talking about a loan growth of around the 5% level. So I think that is going to continue. Maybank would not be able to grow much more than what the Malaysian economy is doing.
Yeah, and indeed, because when you consider that banks are generally seen as a proxy to the Malaysian economy, right, you got to look at, I mean, not just Public Bank, Maybank as well, and everyone else who's set to report in the coming days. I think Hong Leong has reported already. But then, you know, when you look at loans growth, you know, I'm looking at some Bloomberg data here. You know, I believe that their loans as of last year was still shy of that half a trillion dollar mark, about 500 billion, shy of that. Below 500 billion. Ringgit. So, you know, it is still growing, but it's that pace of growth that is perhaps worrying, you know, and then that could also possibly bleed into the other KPIs as well.
Well, if you look at Genting Malaysia, who also announced their quarterlies, their net profit ballooned four times to $1.7 billion, that is, for the fourth quarter ended December 2016. Now, this was boosted by a gain from the sale of its Genting Hong Kong stake to Golden Hope Limited.
Now, this is similar to Axiata, right? Genting is kind of like a fund manager as well because they invest into stuff that they know, casinos around the region and around the world. And in that vein, you know, what's positive also is that they want to look forward to that casino project in Japan. And this is the first time that Japan has legalized this kind of mass-scale casino projects over there. That's $12 billion in project cost. So it's a huge project. And Genting would be able to take a leave from what they learned from developing that integrated resort in Singapore. And from a tourism point of view, I think the Genting Highlands in Malaysia mm-hmm. is also doing well from tourism arrivals.
Yeah, it looks like it's better revenue and profit from Genting, the Genting Highlands Hilltop Casino here. I think higher business volume, lower operating costs. But if you compare that in the US and the Bahamas, they're seeing some lower profit and revenue there.
Yeah, at least for this reporting quarter, they are attributing it to the disposal of shares in Genting Hong Kong. Also, yeah, like you said, better operational performance, right? You know, hence that big jump in earnings there. You know, so again, you know, I guess looks like Asians and gamblers all around the world still got plenty of appetite for those bets, I guess.
On a lighter note, you know, now in Japan, there's something called Premium Friday. So you've got Black Friday, Singles Day, and now Premium Friday, thanks to SoftBank. SoftBank is giving their staff extra money to hit the town because they're responding to a government campaign to get the country's overworked populace to leave the office by 3 p.m. every last Friday of the month and go spend some of that cash. So technically, it would be today, since today is the last Friday of the month.
I'm sure SoftBank wants it to be turned into a major day where everyone goes out shopping along the lines of Black Friday, Cyber Monday,
oh, yeah, you know, Cyber Monday,
Singles Day as well. You know, the kind of days that corporations create just to increase their sales. But I'm not too averse to the idea of a Premium Friday where my company gives me money to go out there and spend
Go home early.
Yeah. Or go home early, spend on premium products. I wouldn't deny that. I wouldn't push that away.
And on that note, can somebody in our office please make sure that our boss is listening right now? Anyone, you know, please make sure okay. Big Boss is listening.
This is specific to Japan, shall we say, but
yeah,
let's
but
hope
hey, the globalization look like we can jump
policy.
On the bandwagon.
Yeah, east
totally,
policy.
Yeah.
There you go. Perhaps we might, you know, every last Friday of the month. This is something that's quite interesting. But then again, the Japanese population is overworked, chronically overworked. I don't know whether we can say the same about the Malaysian population. All right, we've got the opening numbers from Bursa Malaysia coming up in the news bulletin that's coming up shortly on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.